We kick off hour number two. It's brought to you by the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Become a member, tvacreditunion.com for all the details. We're walking over 30 branches right here in East Tennessee.
The disrespect continues to roll in.
Who's disrespecting who?
LSU is disrespecting the University of Tennessee.
Who said that?
I did.
Okay.
Because they are taking the time during the game tomorrow to be filming scenes for a feature film titled The Mascot. It's going to be a movie about a blue-chip high school quarterback who loses his LSU football scholarship and seeks redemption by becoming Mike the Tiger.
No! Are you serious?
Uh-huh.
What did you mean by taking time during the game? Like, is it going to actually change?
They're going – no. They better not.
The length of a timeout at some point in this game tomorrow?
No, but I'm guessing at halftime they're going to go out there and some dudes are going to run out and, like, pretend to do football stuff.
Really?
No.
So this is like in the program, right? In the
which
program.
Which was filmed at South Carolina hosting Tennessee in 80-whatever. Tennessee won that game, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
So they think so much of the Tennessee game.
Well, they know it'll be full. But
they should have.
It'd be kind of embarrassing when they get a lot of orange in those crowd shots.
I want so much orange in the crowd. That's all I care about now. If you're listening and you're going to the game, don't wear white.
Yeah, wear
don't
orange.
Wear gray.
Yeah,
I want orange. I want so much orange in the stadium. I want anyone who is filming or working on this film to go, oh my God, we have to use CGI on the crowd. There's too much orange in the crowd. Disgraceful. LSU. Businessreport.com. I guess it's real. Callum sent it in. That's what they think about us, huh? Oh yeah, Tennessee's coming in. No big deal. We'll just film a movie. Unbelievable. Okay. T-Bob Hebert making stupid videos that Hickman loved.
It is a sweet video.
Don't you think that's a good thing? I mean, first of all, it's kind of weird that you have to have a hype video for your fans when the number 8 team in the country is coming, but it also means like, hey, this is the number 8 team in the country. They're
the
show.
We're a big deal now.
They're the favorite. Yeah. This is LSU's Super Bowl.
I don't like that. I don't like that they're
it's their fan Super Bowl.
End of this season.
You're going to have to play some games where the other team's not, 0-8.
Yeah, I know. But I think if they lost to Auburn, that would have been a good thing for us. I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe you're right. The fans might have been down, and the team might have rallied and been like, backs against the wall and played better.
Yeah.
Well, Sonny.
Because right now they're thinking, what we're doing is not really working, but we're winning games. I mean, if we just fix that extra point team and block the edge rusher, we're undefeated right now. Things are going great, guys. Everything's fine. Now they get the Tennessee Josh Heupel offense, high octane Hendon Hooker. Let's go.
Well, LSU beat writer Sonny Shipp said that when he was asked about the current mood in and around the LSU program, he said, upbeat with the defense, skeptical of the offense.
Wait, in the program? Or like, just like fans?
Like the mood in and around the program.
And around the program. Mm-hmm. Ooh. Well, they had a players-only meeting with the receivers and quarterback because things aren't really going great. That could be really good. If something bad happens early, maybe the receivers just check out. Like if he throws a pick or if he takes a couple bad sacks, throws it away when the guy's wide open, which he might be. Hopefully not, but it could happen.
24/7 asked Shipp how he thinks Jaden Daniels will play against a Tennessee defense because it seems like Daniels has played really poorly against good defenses but really well against bad defenses, and they're trying to decide where is Tennessee on the scale and how will he play.
Mathematically or potentially?
Shipp said somewhere in between, but I do lean more towards playing well.
Of course. Of course he leans that way.
He said he expects LSU to run the ball a good bit early to try and keep Tennessee's offense off the field.
That's what I
said. Obviously, that they, Brian Kelly's going to want to get the ball out into space, but keeping that Tennessee offense off the field is important too. So expect a nice dose of the run early.
I like that.
I mean, it's kind of weird, right? Like that.
Like, why not why come out and attack our strength on defense? Why wouldn't you go after our weakness and just try and throw it? But
So what's the deal with their offensive line? They're pretty good at run blocking, but terrible in pass pro, or are they just not very good, but their backs have been pretty good?
I thought it was the opposite. They haven't run the ball well all year, right?
But that's what they do best, isn't it?
I mean, doesn't Jaden Daniels lead them in rushing?
Yes.
Broken pass plays, essentially, which is very strange, right? You'd think that they would just line up and run the ball if that's what they did best.
So they can't pass pro.
Their best play is to call a pass, let Jaden Daniels drop back, let it break down, and then he runs.
They're averaging 5.1 yards per rush.
That's pretty good.
15 rushing touchdowns on the year. 980 total rushing yards coming into the game. And 196 a game.
Okay, well, look up the Tennessee rushing numbers. I want to compare that because I feel like we don't run the ball that much. But we also get a game and a half of plays every game.
That's true.
LSU has 980 rushing yards on the season. Tennessee, 774.
Okay. So I guess
we're averaging 447 a rush. They're averaging 505.
So they just spread it around to the backs more? It just seems – I guess I got it in my head that
we have the same
the
amount of rushing touchdowns as they do.
15.
I guess I got it in my head that they don't – they're not running the ball great just because they don't have a running back that leads the way. But
they have five running backs who have gotten carries this year. Okay. But then you got to consider Jaden Daniels, who actually leads the team in attempts. He's got 60. Second on that list is Armani Goodwin, who has 34.
How many does Emory have?
28. Okay. Kayshawn Boutte has one rush for 41 yards.
Mm-hmm.
You think that one went well, you might want to try it again.
Jaden Daniels is ninth in the conference in rushing overall. He's almost got as many rush yards as Tank Bigsby.
That's crazy.
And Zach Evans.
And see, I haven't watched them play New Mexico or Southern. I don't know how many – typically,
yeah,
those running
point.
Backs would have racked up a crap ton of yards against mm-hmm. those teams, you know, if it's a traditional team. But I don't know. Maybe that's the difference there.
You want me to tell you here in a second?
They're pretty well dispersed with who gets the rushes. Armani Goodwin, like I said, 34 attempts. Noah Kane, 33 attempts. And then John Emery Jr. and Josh Williams both have 28 carries each. Hmm. So you're probably going to see a steady dose of all four guys.
Jaden Daniels against Southern was 10 of 11 for 137 and three of his six touchdowns on the year. Armani Goodwin had 12 carries for 85 yards. Noah Kane, 10 for 51. Booty had one for 41. Jaden Daniels, three for 18 and a rushing touchdown. So four of Jaden Daniels, does he have 10 total touchdowns on the season?
Believe so.
They came against Southern, mm-hmm. a game in which LSU scored 65 points.
He had 16 carries in all three of their bigger games, Mississippi State, Florida State, and Auburn. He carried the ball 16 times.
Combined?
Yeah. No, 16 each game.
Hmm.
So 48 of his 60 carries were in the three biggest games they've had this year.
And I think it's because he can't find people open and he takes off. Now, they might have some design runs in those games, mm-hmm. too.
He had 114 against Florida State, 93 against Mississippi State, and 59 rushing yards against Auburn.
And even obviously. Against Auburn last week, so they didn't have Armani Goodwin play last week against Auburn.
Mm.
So Josh Williams got the majority of the workload, it looks like. He had 17 carries last week against Auburn. And the Emory kid, he only had 8 carries last week.
This is just a Notre Dame football team, isn't it?
Yep.
Like, if they play a little better against Florida State, they're Notre Dame, sitting there at fifth, sixth in the polls,
mm-hmm.
just chilling. Not really – even if they have a good receiver, you don't even know about them. Mm-hmm. If they have a great running back, you don't know about them because they're spreading the ball around so much. And they're not, like –
Jaden Daniels was 24 of 29 against Southern. So you wonder why his QBR is so high?
Yeah.
That's why.
Mm-hmm.
Or no, I'm sorry. Maybe that was New Mexico. That might have been New Mexico. Yeah, he was 24 of 29 against New Mexico.
Like, that's the thing. I've only watched him against
Florida State, Auburn,
and Mississippi State.
Yeah.
And I haven't even watched all of every one of those games, just, I guess, most of Mississippi.
He wasn't terrible against Florida State. 25 of 34, 209, two touchdowns. And he also had 16 carries for 114.
He's a poor man's Hendon Hooker.
Here we go.
What?
You're doing it, the thing that you got mad at us for doing.
Now, he's probably a little better runner, actually, but he does not pull the trigger.
You think he's a better runner or just does it more?
He's faster.
You think so?
Yeah. Okay. Maybe not in like a just straight foot race, but...
A little quicker. A little more jukey.
Definitely
shifty.
Not as... Hendon's a little giraffe-ish sometimes, you know?
He's got loose hips.
He's like,
it looks awkward, but he's actually moving pretty fast.
But no, I mean, if they just race like 60 yards straight, I don't know, maybe Hooker gets him. But I feel like Daniels is a little more of a little more polished runner because
he's
a little
with that.
Quicker, a little
I'd
more quick twitch. But Hooker's been much more willing to pull the trigger and put the ball in harm's way without doing it. You know, ball placement's been pretty good this year, outside of the occasional ones that get away from him.
Just the high ones, you mean? Because has he thrown one that you're like,
oh,
that should
balls and some high ones?
But has he thrown one where you're like, oh, that should have been picked off, or that hit the defender in the hands? I don't remember. I don't recall one of those. Really.
Daniels just doesn't pull the trigger. That's pretty common of guys that are used to taking off and running, though.
Oh yeah,
you know
they don't want to do it first, but it's like first read, gotta go.
Yeah.
They're not scanning the field.
Look down the field after that, but
and for him, it's probably a confidence thing because it is still a pretty new offense to him.
All right, we'll talk some LSU defense on the flip side. Stick with us right here on 3 and Out. They are missing a guy, and they'll need some other dudes to step up. We'll hit on that next. Down the fiddle and you get down the bow. Kick off your shoes and you throw them on the floor. Dance in the kitchen till the morning light. Louisiana Saturday night. Waiting in the front yard, sitting on a log, a single-shot rifle and a one-eyed dog. Yonder come my kinfolk in the moonlight, Louisiana Saturday night. Well, you get down the fiddle and you get down the bow, kick off your shoes and you throw them in the floor. Dance in the kitchen till the morning light, Louisiana Saturday night.
I mean, I can't help it that there are so many great songs about the state of Louisiana.
You don't have to play them all.
I'm not. I'm only playing two.
That mother, brother Jack. In fairness, we could be calling Baton Rouge home tomorrow.
That's true.
And
that's true.
Louisiana Saturday night spin on Bourbon Street after a big Tennessee victory. Could be pretty fun.
I like that map that I think it's – I don't want to give the wrong credit, but I think it's Reddit College Football's doing, the like the takeover map where – when you win a game, you take that team's land.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
and then when so they've taken some land, and when you beat them, and the only way to gain land is if you beat a team that has land. And so everybody kind of started with just where their school was, and it's the map is growing, you know.
I want to see this.
It's pretty funny.
You said it's on Reddit?
I think so. I think it's Reddit College Football. I'm sure you can find it. They even did one for FCS, which is kind of weird because, you know, no one knows any of those schools except the ones around them or whatever. Talking about the LSU defense, they're going to be without Mason Smith. He's a 6'5", 316-pound defensive lineman. He was only the fifth best defensive lineman in his recruiting class.
Oh, is that it?
A .9898 five-star. So I don't know how good he'd been playing this year, but sounds like a big loss.
First-round draft pick.
There you go.
Pretty good player.
The LSU beat writer said, B.J. Ojulari and Jaquillen Roy are going to have to step up and be difference makers. If they aren't, then it could be a long day if Hooker gets comfortable and has time to throw the football.
Slam the phone a little harder next time. You don't mind.
Okay.
Thanks.
He also said the defense will play be a nickel and even play a lot of dime to try and stop the Tennessee passing attack.
So we got to pound the football with our big, strong, physical backs.
Isn't that what teams typically do to Mike Leach the longer seasons go on? They just force him to just run it over and over, you know, or dump it down over and over.
Yes, the good news is that Heupel will actually run the football.
It's true.
But the question is, can our running backs, A, hold on to the football, and B, can our offensive line create holes for those running backs to get through? I mean, I would think if they're going dime, surely to God, our five offensive linemen, maybe with the help of a tight end, could block four down linemen and a linebacker. But time will tell. Time will tell. I really want to see this map. If anybody has that, I'd like to take a look at that. What's it called? Was it college football imperialism? That was it?
Yeah.
I thought I found it, but... Nope, there's no pictures.
The beat writer for LSU did say they have some holes in the secondary. That doesn't sound good when you're about to face Tennessee. And then he said their offense lines up in a lot of 11 personnel, which is heavy with tight ends. I mean, it's such a Brian Kelly thing. You have Kayshon Booty. You got this Neighbors guy that's kind of come out and been a good receiver.
Been good.
And let's play a lot of tight ends. You know, let's not spread the field and get the ball to our talented receivers.
It's Notre Dame football. That's what he wants to do.
And that might be fine in year three or four once you've gotten two, like, first round. If you got Darnell Washington and Brock Bowers out there, sure.
Yeah, it's a good point.
You know, but when you've got Kayshon Booty and two other good receivers.
Jeray Jenkins.
Yeah, why not, like, feature them?
I don't know if he knows how to do that. He's never had that before.
Well, and he might not.
He didn't have it at Central Michigan. He didn't have it at Cincinnati. He didn't have it at Notre Dame.
The other thing is, he
had big Midwestern guys and just said, here we go.
Just to play devil's advocate and look at it the other way, maybe he knows the offensive line sucks. And so they're having to put a bunch of extra tight ends in the game to help with, with that. Because another weakness here that Shipp talks about is the depth. He said their depth along the offensive line sucks.
Theirs does.
Yeah.
That's a shame. You hate to see that.
They have...
But guy with the club hands coming back.
Yeah, he's their best.
Well, they have five guys out for this game, either due to injury, suspension, or targeting coming into the game. So there's that.
But the targeting guy would only miss one half,
right?
Miss
the first half, right?
Wait, suspension, injury, targeting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Who's the receiver that's out this weekend?
I don't know, but if it ain't Booty, Jenkins, or Neighbors, I don't really care. I mean,
yeah, those are the guys.
Shipp said Jeray Jenkins is their most underrated player.
He absolutely is, and when Booty went out last year, he was really, really good. And I'm actually as big of a surprise as Kayshon Booty's lack of success has been, I'm almost more surprised at Jeray Jenkins, because if you had Booty not doing well, you would think, oh, that means they're double-teaming Booty, and Jenkins is getting single coverage, and he's having, you know, all these big nights and big games, and so far that just hasn't happened. But, yeah, Jeray Jenkins is very, very good. God, we got to pressure the passer tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
I think we will.
Okay.
Our quarterback hurries are pretty impressive.
Yep, fifth best rate of pressuring the quarterback in the country. And a lot of that's like, I mean, it feels like just a little bit of pressure on Daniels, and he just wants to take off and run. Whereas some guys will, you know, stand back there, climb the pocket, roll the throw, and he just doesn't seem like he wants to do that.
What would you give grade-wise to the three levels of our defense, defensive line, linebackers, secondary? What would you grade them out so far for the season?
B, C, D.
I would say A minus, B minus, D plus.
No, I'd go B plus, B minus, F.
I don't know if I'd give an F to the secondary. They had one really, really, really terrible game. Really, really terrible.
Yeah, I mean, they did.
But again, guys, like, this is when we're going to score all these points, other teams are going to realize we have to throw to keep up. It's our only chance. Like, teams are going to – they're going to complete more passes. They're going to throw more passes. I mean, Florida had – how many more plays did Florida run than us? Like 20?
20, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's – I mean, Florida, because they ran so many plays and realized they had to throw, kind of did to us what we normally do to teams. The difference is we were also doing that just much faster and more efficient.
The start of this game is going to be very important for Tennessee, especially because even the LSU beat writer says the key with the crowd and the atmosphere is just going to be the first half. If the game's close in the second half, the stadium will come alive. Tennessee gets up, you know, they can kind of keep it asleep. basically said the first half crowd's not going to be. But if it gets, you know, if it gets to 1 o'clock, it's a close game. You know, 1 o'clock their time, second half.
Right, right.
They might even leave if we're up 14, 21 points at some point in the first half.
I don't think they leave at 14. I think they'd leave at 21. I think it'll be a good crowd. I do think there's going to be a lot more orange there than they're expecting, and that makes me very happy. Because, as they said before, you know, East teams, you don't get to make this trip very often at all. Right? I mean, what's the last time we were there? 2010? It's been 12 years since we went down to LSU. This is one of those trips. I mean, this is, for a lot of people,
it's a bucket list SEC venue.
Yeah, I mean, it absolutely is.
And just bucket list
really
in
just
general.
College football, right? Or sports in general. Yeah. Like, go see a game in Death Valley. I think a lot of people were kind of banking and hoping for a night game. But then those people sold or gave their tickets to somebody else who's going to be down there.
Well, at least for Tennessee fans, you didn't get the night game, but you get an undefeated team that's, you know, top 10 in the country. It's a big game. It's a really big game.
It's huge.
In a lot of ways, for this season.
I mean, really, at this point, they're all big.
But in a lot of ways, this season, for this type of season, it's almost more important than some of your two tougher opponents. Because, sure, you can, if you were to lose this game but then beat Alabama or Georgia, it would, in a way, kind of erase this loss. But in another way, it
makes you look back on that one and be like, what were we doing?
What happened?
Yeah, what happened? Yeah, I agree with that.
And if you're able to beat all these teams that are at this level and then look pretty good, even in losses of those two, it really shows a big step in the right direction. LSU beat writer says, I think it's going to be a high-scoring affair. Would not be surprised to see both teams hit the 30s. I picked an LSU win in my preseason predictions, followed by a loss in the Swamp the next week. I don't feel as good about either of those picks now. I see Tennessee winning 34-31.
I mean, I'd take it.
You started sweating. I could see.
I mean, Florida had their absolute way with us and only scored 33. I'm not saying it's impossible. I don't know, man. 31 to this team? They got lucky to score 20 against Florida State. Mm-hmm. They needed a defensive touchdown to get 21 against Auburn. And what, 4 or 5 turnovers?
So you're calling blowout?
People think our defense
bad. I'm just saying, I'm not saying we're going to score a ton. I don't know. I mean, Florida knew they had to score, really were successful on offense, and still got 33. Now, granted, they did go for 2 twice and didn't get it, right?
Yeah, so 35. And he's got LSU at 31.
Maybe 34 for Florida if they just kick extra points. No, you're right, 35. Because in my head it was 32. It was 33. Yeah, okay.
They had 600 yards of offense against us.
Right, yeah. I feel like if we have 600 yards of offense against somebody, we're going to score 60.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's the big debate.
I'm not saying they don't have firepower. I just haven't seen it yet. Like with Richardson, it was like, okay, this guy can just zip, 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 zip. I don't know. We'll see. I don't know. That's not Brian Kelly's style. That's just not what he's going
to
do.
His style won't translate well to the SEC in my mind. But
they scored 31 against Mississippi State.
Didn't they have another defensive touchdown in that game?
No,
they did not have a defensive touchdown.
Not that I remember.
Okay. Do we think our defense is worse than Mississippi State's?
Yes.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
I do.
The back end's just...
We
need that front 7 big time.
Maybe other people don't.
It's funny how quickly you two have come around. Mr. Anthony Richardson can't pass, and now our back end is sucky.
That's why I'm scared about this game.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. Come back. More Hour 3 next.
Welcome out, just gonna burn.
Hour two continues this segment brought to you by Blue Water Climate Control. Check them out online at bluewaterclimatecontrol.com for all your HVAC needs. They are the number one HVAC company in Knoxville. You heard Russell talking about them on the commercials as well. Tell them you heard about them on Fan Run Radio. And go to bluewaterclimatecontrol.com for all the details.
Really good point brought up by Jason. And I'd like to find the – I don't know what resource I would use to find this data. So, like, Billy Napier against us.
Mm-hmm.
Went for fourth downs five times, six times? I don't know that he missed one. Was he 4 of 5 or 5 of 6 on fourth down?
Something like that.
Brian Kelly had a chance to beat Florida State in the first game from the 2-yard line. He decided to kick the extra point. It got blocked. They lost.
Mm-hmm.
Is Brian Kelly the type of coach who will throw caution to the wind, go for it on fourth down, go for 2-point conversions, go for, you know, 4th and 4 from the 8 in the red zone, throw to the end zone? Like, is he that type of guy, or is he a, we're going to punt, we're going to play defense, we're going to kick field goals? Is he a, the word I'm thinking of is gutsy, but, like, how does he rate against the analytics, which have now become so prevalent in college football? There were graphics last year, and it talked about coaches who seem to make the right decision analytically all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And Heupel was at 100% at one point of the year, like midway through the year. Like, based on fourth down and the yardage to gain from this part of the field, down this many points or up this many points, he had made the right decision just about every time.
Was it an NFL game I was watching, or college? Maybe you guys remember. I don't know. It where they showed a guy in the booth with a bunch of charts and sheets.
Mm-hmm.
It might have been the Florida game. And they said, yeah, you're not allowed to use a computer.
Oh, yeah, to just, like, calculate the
maybe
odds.
Maybe it was the NFL. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like, you can't have your analytics guy just sitting up there with, like, a massive
laptop and, yeah.
Just, like, giving you the automatic win probability.
Right.
You have to kind of know the situations ahead of time or have them on paper charts.
Speaking of that, last night when Russell Wilson threw the pick in the end zone,
yeah,
it cost them a win probability of like 26%. Like, if they kicked the field, like, it was like an unbelievable shift in odds to win when he threw the pick. But that's my question for this game. Somehow, and sure, some of it's kind of just a gut feel, but also I would imagine Heupel has people. This is the University of Tennessee. Please, God, tell me we have people.
Mm-hmm.
But is Brian Kelly more of a, I don't know, we're going to kick a field goal? And like Butch Jones, 4th and 1 against Oklahoma, and he's popping the 3.
I feel like he is, but I don't. But I can't remember situations where.
I can't either.
You know, I would say he leans that way, but I haven't seen situations like, God, this Brian Kelly's an idiot. I can't believe he's not going for it here. You
but
know,
I
like
also don't remember anywhere
coaches.
It's like, whoa, Brian Kelly, you can't believe he went for the win there.
Napier was – he was 5 of 6
five
on fourth
six.
Down.
And the stop was the first fourth down
of the
game.
Yeah, that's the one he should have kicked the field goal on.
Yeah, put points on the board.
Yeah.
My thoughts, too.
But I don't know.
I don't know. I thought that was a good point to bring up because it feels like against Tennessee, if you're – and I don't know if LSU is as undermanned, like in the eyes of Brian Kelly – if you could take the feeling of Billy Napier and Brian Kelly as they watch Tennessee, does he feel like they're as undermanned against Tennessee as Billy Napier did? I have no idea,
well,
but I do.
He's
I do
crazy
wonder.
If he feels that way. LSU is one of the most talented rosters in the country.
But again, like his style of play, he may think, "Oh no, because our defense is going to slow him down and stop him."
Yeah.
So I don't know.
I'm sure he'll be more conservative than Billy Napier. Here's some crazy stats for you, though. You ready for this?
Yes.
I've talked a lot about how, you know, Tennessee's offense obviously gets a boost because they get to run more plays typically because they go fast. Our games typically have more plays in total.
Yes.
But and so you can look at that as a positive for our defense. When people are like, well, that Tennessee defense, they just give up a ton of yards. I was like, well, yeah, they're out there more, and they're out there for a lot of plays. It's like they've played an extra game or two. Guess – so I'm trying to, you know, in the math world, I'm trying to standardize these numbers,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's really hard – a few games into the year, we're starting to get now, over the next 3 to 4 weeks, we'll start to get everybody's schedules will even out a little bit to where everybody's played a couple really terrible teams.
Common opponents and things, yeah.
You'll have about the same amount of conference games, that sort of thing. Tennessee is number one in the country in yards per game.
Yes.
On offense.
Yes.
I was like, well, let's standardize this for the amount of plays, right? Tennessee is fifth in yards per play in college football. Guess who's fourth ahead of Tennessee in how many yards they gain per play? It's an SEC team.
Can we get a hint?
Florida.
It's Florida.
Okay, I was going to guess Florida with or without the hint, but
it's Florida. Florida gains more yards per play on the season than Tennessee. That's got to make you feel a little better about our defense.
It does.
I mean, how much of that are we responsible for, though?
That's the other side
of
the coin.
It's fair.
Yeah.
Probably a lot of it.
Well, yeah, but they've also had a clunker game against Kentucky.
But it goes back to, like, the Utah game, where the score didn't look like it was a huge offensive game.
But those two teams moved it up and down the
field. But when you break down the possessions, both teams went slow, and both teams held the ball and moved it, up and down the field. So, like, per play, that was a pretty good offensive game probably from both teams. Utah lost the game because they didn't score touchdowns and then turned it over in the red zone. You know, Florida's played – they almost got beat to South Florida, but their yards per play in that game, I'm sure, were good. The score was pretty high scoring. They obviously played like Eastern whoever.
Yeah.
Kentucky or Eastern Washington or whoever that was last week and put up a big number, kind of like we've done on the MAC teams.
Right.
Top teams, yards per play on the season. Number one, TCU. They've run 264 plays. Tennessee has run over 300. So has Florida. In part because they played Tennessee and ran so many
plays. Right.
Alabama has run 335 plays, which is tops out of anybody in the top five.
Good Lord.
A lot of that, though, is because the better your defense is and the more you get off the field, the more plays your offense runs.
Sure, sure.
Because Georgia is up near the top with 358 plays. And then you've got an interesting team like UCLA, who has run 362 plays. I also need to note that Tennessee, on the number of plays, has only played four games, whereas all these other teams have played five. So ours is going to leapfrog a lot of these teams once we get to five games. Obviously, the yards per play is standardized per play, so it doesn't matter how many games you play.
Yeah, but that extra game for a lot of teams, since we had a rather early bye week, does make a big difference.
TCU, on the 264, they've only played four games also, so that's why theirs is so low. Makes sense. So anyway, pretty interesting numbers there for you. And we'll come back with the final segment, hour number two. We'll hit the Big Orange Philly phone lines. The number's 865-546-8200. If you're holding there, hang tight. We'll come to you next right here on 3 and Out. Final segment, hour number two. Going to go to the Big Orange Philly phone lines. Check out Big Orange Philly's in Halls. Just kind of wrap the stat talk there. LSU's 19th in yards per play given up on defense. They're 41st in yards per play gained on offense. Leading the SEC in both categories is Alabama. Third in the country, yards per play gained. First in the country, yards per play given up. There you go. We'll deal with that next.
Yeah, I was going to say. Let's just get this done later.
Yeah.
Later.
All right. To the Big Orange Philly phone lines, got Matthew up first. What's up, Matthew? You're on 3 and Out.
First in both categories.
Hey, fellas. Happy Big Orange Friday. How are we feeling this morning?
Great.
Pretty good, although the gambling numbers, Brett will tell us about them in a minute, but pretty interesting
things
about LSU. And
it's a new coach.
Home dogs.
It's a new coach. Different things.
Okay.
You seen him against top 10 teams? Sorry, Matthew, go ahead.
No, you're good. I actually wanted to ask this. I wanted to hang up with this question, so I'll go ahead and ask it. What would be more surprising to you guys if we just went out there and blew them out of the water or if we won a close one?
More surprising to me would be if we blow them away.
Mine's won a close one.
You think if it's close, we're in trouble?
Good chance.
More surprising.
I'd be more surprised than a blowout.
I don't think I would.
You would?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
I'm not saying that's what I'm going to pick, but I think I'd be more surprised if it's close.
Blowout for me.
Okay.
I think the numbers we'll get to with Brett kind of lean towards it being fairly close either way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'll
tell you what
this.
Would surprise me the most is if we get housed tomorrow. That would surprise me the most.
Yeah, I had a dream we lost 41-7, Matthew, but
not to LSU.
It's okay, because during my dream I thought it was LSU, but then when it was weird, we had all been tricked into not watching the game, and once I went back and looked at the game, it was West Virginia, so disregard all Nate's dreams in that department.
I always hate dreams, Nate, because if you're getting chased in your dream, you can't actually run. Like, you try to run, and you feel like you're running slow-mo.
Mm-hmm.
But, fellas, I'll hang up with this, and I'll actually ask this to Brett since he doesn't get enough airtime. I thought it was interesting. I read a report this morning that they knew Warren Burrell was going to be done for the year since the Pitt game. And so, Brett, what is that, as George W. Bush would say, what's the strategy of not having a guy be actually publicly known that he's out for the year? Thanks, guys.
Speechless.
Yeah, that's a good question, but I mean,
I really,
back on it,
if they knew that, why wouldn't they? Yeah, like if they knew that,
it's not like we were keeping like Tyrone Mathieu back there, just waiting to break the news on him.
Tyrone,
same thing.
Tyron, why'd you have to pick an LSU Tiger?
DBU, right?
It's LSU week. It's
just pick somebody who was really good. Mm.
The Capper Tech simulation for the game has been completed.
Yeah, oh, okay.
You want the final result?
Sure.
This might be the new odd chart. LSU 31, Tennessee 16.
Okay. If that's the score tomorrow, I'm going to blame you.
If we score 16 points, I just can't.
I mean, do people really think LSU is, like, that much better than Florida?
I mean,
they're so close, though. I feel like they're the same team.
I mean, I know Florida lost to Kentucky. Kentucky lost to Ole Miss. Like, I feel like you could play an 8-team playoff with LSU and Ole Miss and Kentucky and Utah. And did I already say Florida? Florida.
Mm.
And, like, Mississippi State. Go ahead. Pick the six. Pick the winner of that playoff bracket. There's no way you're doing it.
Do you want to know what the versus sports...
I am afraid Tennessee's in that group. That's what we're trying to find out. Are we in that group where we're going to beat some of those teams and lose some of those teams?
Yeah.
Or are we in this weird tier where we're not quite at the Alabama-Georgia level, but we're better than Florida, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, LSU, Texas A&M, Arkansas? I mean, is it possible that our team is better than all of those teams? That's the big question.
The versus sports simulator.
You beat LSU.
Let me finish this one sentence, and then you can keep going.
And you beat Kentucky, and obviously beat all the teams worse than them, and you're not going to have to beat the others. It's going to be nice. You don't have to play the West schedule. You're just going to be that team. Go ahead, Kate.
Nope, I'm done. I'm not giving the simulator.
Okay. Well, you already said 31-16.
No, this was a different one. I said
how many simulators are
there? The
last
one was Capper Tech. This is versus sports simulator.
Okay.
But you'll have to look that up yourself because I'm not giving it. Sick of getting interrupted in here. I'm done.
Is it a good simulator? Because the last one you said was bad.
Mm-hmm.
So Matthew actually brought it up. That he thinks Florida's secondary is better than LSU's.
Mm.
And might agree.
SI's computer says LSU has a 58.3% chance to win. Capper Tech.
I've never heard of it. Rising against Florida threw for 216, a touchdown, and a interception. That's Utah's quarterback.
He's a pretty good quarterback, all things considered. He didn't play well that game.
Will Levis was 13 of 24 for 202, a touchdown, and a pick. So they're giving up to decent quarterbacks. I think we both agree Will Levis and Rising are decent.
Mm-hmm.
They're giving up about 210 yards, one touchdown, and one pick. They gave up three touchdowns, right? Was it three to Hooker and then one on the ground?
Yeah. And 349 yards?
Yeah, like 347 passing and 100 and whatever on the ground. Against Will Levis, the number one overall pick in the upcoming NFL draft. Levis had seven carries for negative 12 yards and a touchdown against Florida.
Nice.
I mean, that's good numbers against Will Levis. In the game, obviously, Florida lost, but defensively, those are good numbers.
Florida State's quarterback had 260 yards passing and 30 yards rushing versus LSU's defense. Hit a QBR of almost 100.
In a game, they were up, what, 14 to nothing?
Yeah.
At one point, and probably took the foot off the gas throwing the football.
Oh, they should have scored more, yeah.
I know, yeah, that's what I'm saying. They probably could have. That's why it's important tomorrow. If things go well early, like 14 points tomorrow, not safe. Not safe. You got to go for 50. Hang the 50 burger if you can, Heupel, because weird things happen in Death Valley, and I just.
And then Will Rogers did not have a good game against LSU. 214 through the air on 45 attempts.
I'm assuming that's his worst game of the year. But has he been the same old Will Rogers against just about everybody else? Like, what did he do against A&M? Although their defense is pretty good.
I mean, he's thrown for like 300 plus yards in every game but LSU.
Did he go over 300 against A&M?
I think he did.
Okay.
I mean, because they torched them.
Yeah,
yeah, 329. It's easy when touchdowns.
It's easy when they can't move the ball.
Yeah, well, Odd Shark, who you guys hate, has us winning by 10.
I've never slandered Odd Shark.
They were pretty close on the floor score, I think, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I think it seems like a lot of
38-29.
A lot of people for the Florida game settled in on that like 38-31, 30, like 35-30. There was a lot in that kind of range that I saw.
Yeah, Will Rogers' quarterback rate, as done by Sports Reference, in his games this year, 184, 159, 103, 186, 152. The 103 was against the LSU defense in Baton Rouge.
Okay.
When does Kentucky play them? 2 weeks.
When does Kentucky play?
State.
Mississippi State?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Next week, right?
They play them, then go on bye, then play us, I think. I could be wrong.
We'll come back, kick off hour three next.